Here we go. It's hour one, GBAG Nation 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We had Miro news earlier. Let's open with that. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy scout, NFL executive. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. He's ready to go 5 hours once again, flawless. You got Wolchuk and Schiafalo in the house. And Carter Freeman is coordinating your video. You can watch us on the internet. MRI yesterday, specialist today, labeled week to week until all the information is determined per coach. I'm taking this as a dub. We got a dub here, didn't we? Miro's going to be back?
Yeah, just week to week. This is definitely one where now he can rest up. He's not going to be playing in the Four Nations deal with Finland, which I'm sure is a bummer to him. I think that would have meant a lot.
I'd rather have him healthy.
But me too. Like, big picture, I think as long as this is week to week, this isn't something where he's going to miss a massive, hopefully extended amount of time. This is a win for the Stars. It looked much worse. Like,
yeah.
Possible season
like
ending.
We'll see it next year.
Yeah, like the way that knee bent back. So I'd consider this a victory.
We got about 5 games left before that break.
That sounds right.
So, you know, I think they got an,
and you get like a week off, basically.
I think they got a West Coast swing to kind of finish this thing out in San Jose and L.A. And we'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, hopefully that he's not going to miss too much time. But, they're, you know, the Stars are in a great position right now. You just don't want them to. A very deep team, though.
Well, they haven't had Mason Marchman. Yeah. We got good news today that he's trending like he could be returning soon as well.
Yeah,
very good team. Obviously, you'd rather have him back. It's very rare you have a gruesome injury like that that's tough to watch. I can only watch it once.
He dove into that guy's knee.
Right,
legs
he did.
God dang.
That
like
was intentional as all hell.
You're a better athlete than that, Stone.
Yeah.
You know, you can avoid.
Yeah, exactly.
And then smirking afterwards. Yeah. It's just. Yeah.
Think we're going to have to go after him. Hopefully we get some playoff bad blood.
We might.
That'd be fun. I think you want it at this point. You know, maybe not to the conference finals or something like that. They'll be in action hosting Vancouver tomorrow night. 3 wins in a row, including 2 against Las Vegas in that stretch.
Yep.
So, you know, playing really well, 4th in the conference. Mavs win again. Got close there at the end. Pelicans suddenly making shots and turnover. And there's CJ McCollum knocking down a 3 as time expired. But the Mavs were up 4. So, a scoreboard. I think for me, the biggest takeaway, PJ Washington's just an absolute star, if you ask me. Delivered a near triple-double, 25 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists. The leadership is there. The energy is fantastic. 26 years old. This is a major asset for now. You know, I think somewhere over the next 5 to 8 years, he has as one of the top two-way players in the game is what you're looking at. And I think that's what championships are built on, is guys like PJ Washington. You know, I think somebody was comparing him to your Robert Horry. I think he's better than that.
Absolutely,
you know,
I agree.
And you know, I don't know when Kyrie Irving's contract runs out or when he retires or whatever. Do you need a third star after Luka and PJ Washington? Obviously, you'd like to. The game's about stars, but you know, I think this guy has it all. And it's when you know you have Luka and Kyrie that he kind of settles into that Chris Bosh or Kevin Love role, where he's the third best player on a team, could give you a lot more, but he's humbly playing his role. And when you have highly skilled guys doing that, you can do special things. So that was exciting to see him, you know, have such a big game last night producing.
Yeah. You hear people talk about like just being a superstar in your role, whatever that role is. And for PJ Washington, like being a third or fourth fiddle at times and being comfortable there, but making winning plays. I mean, the rebounding stuff, just out muscling people, him and Gafford both really, really getting after it on the boards. And then fourth quarter, I'll be the best player. No problem. Getting everybody else involved.
Yeah, the facilitating, like, the 8 assists.
Yeah.
That was just another element of his game. Like, we've seen him be a pest, to your point, on the boards, but now you've got to step up when you're down a couple of guards. Like, let me facilitate.
Yeah, it was great. They start attacking Kyrie with the doubles, get it out of his hands. Like, okay, we'll go pick and roll with PJ and let him make the play because he can do that.
Gafford was incredible once again. Really answered the call since Lively's gone out. 22-12 on 9 of 9 shooting, with 4 block shots. Kyrie was masked 25-9-6, and Klay Thompson had 20. So a lot of guys stepping up and allowing you to win another game. And now they're back to 4 games above 500. That is 8th in the West. Not great, but 15 wins from clinching 500 and kind of the cutoff where, hey, this is, you know, worst case scenario. You know, I think maybe you stop down and appreciate they're able been able to execute and get these last couple of wins, because these could be huge.
Yeah, I think that you know, you had the Oklahoma City. I know a couple weeks ago we were talking about all the injuries and with Luke, and I know myself, I was kind of thinking, get me to the end of January and let me see where this team is. And they're still above 500. And, you know, yeah, you had some bad losses, but you also had some great wins.
Yeah.
Kind of. And so that's kind of what they needed to do. You know, they needed to find a way not to just completely go under 500 and then have to scramble to get into the play-in situation and all that. So, you know, hey, job well done so far of managing all the injuries that they've had.
Yeah, and buying themselves some breathing room here along the way. They're in Detroit tomorrow, 6 o'clock start. Then they visit the Cavs on Sunday, and they have a tough game against Boston coming up, and the schedule's going to get tough. And maybe they will scrape back around 500, but Luke will be back here before too long. I think seven games to go probably before the break. Okay, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 52 points last night. Second 50 bomb in the last four games for OKC. And the first two 50-point games of his career, so he is absolutely in the zone. But the Thunder lose to the Warriors. He said it sucks after the game, said maybe the 52 wasn't in the best interest of the team. I just think he's the total superstar package. Very conscientious guy. He was 16 of 29 from the floor and 18 of 21 from the free throw line. An absolute gem of a game. But, you know, they say he might be the most team-minded vibes guy out of all the superstars in the game.
Comes across that way. He really does. And I mean, it wasn't like it was an inefficient 52 where he's clearly just trying to get his. It wasn't a volume 52. That was a damn good performance. 52 points on 29 shots from the field. I would say you were doing a pretty dang good job. I didn't watch the game, so I don't know if he was passing up other things, but yeah, he seems like a guy that other dudes would definitely want to play with.
Okay, some football stuff. Jeremy Fowler reporting the Cowboys considering Ken Dorsey for their OC position. He was OCing with the Bills there for a while, then the Browns. I think this would be kind of a flop if you ask me, Brian.
Fired 2 years in a row.
What's the interest level there?
Well, okay, here's where and I'm going to take you to a place that you want to go.
Thank you.
We always have asked, so can you get assistance from staffs that you respect? Do you respect what he potentially learned there in Cleveland working with that head coach?
Stefanski. I think there's reason to believe.
Stefanski.
Yeah.
And then maybe then you look at Buffalo, maybe some of the stuff with him and Joe Brady. I know it didn't end well for him at both places. I don't think he's going to call the plays here. But if you're looking for ideas, I'm trying to sell. Maybe I'm trying to put the lipstick on the pig. But this is where, you know, if you're starting to say, and I think that Brian Schottenheimer has full control over his staff. I think he's the one making the hires here. And so if you're talking about Ken Dorsey, you're talking about maybe a couple of places that they've been that do run the football, that do have some creativity with some things. You know, was it him doing all that? Was his responsibility? I think he shared in some of that, but maybe that could be an ideal guy for you if you're looking for that. If you're looking for that avenue. Other than that, yeah, I can agree with a lot of people that's probably, you know, if you're asking him to call the plays, probably not the best idea. But if you're asking for a guy that could potentially steal ideas and then also have some creativity from the two stops he made, Buffalo, Cleveland. Yeah, you probably could do worse.
Yeah, I look at this like the Bobby Slowick stuff when he leaves Houston and people are like, would the Cowboys be interested? I wouldn't want him as an offensive coordinator. I mean, I know he wouldn't be calling the plays in the role because Schottenheimer's going to do that. But if you're the OC, you still are like one of the main architects of what this offense is supposed to look like. If he wants to be on the staff in a different role, a different capacity, maybe he's just that kind of guy that looks around and scouts other teams and does some stuff like that or whatever. I'm sure there's a place for him, quarterback's coach or something, but not as your offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he might not have been a bad quarterback's coach with Josh Allen, but, I mean, they didn't run the ball. That's part of the reason why he got fired in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I do like Stefanski, and I've got a lot of respect for him, two-time coach of the year, but then he gets canned in Cleveland. So it's just like, man, you're going to bring a guy in as an offensive coordinator who's been fired 2 years in a row. But I hear your point, like not calling the plays.
He's not calling the plays. He
does factor in here.
He's coming in with like, okay, listen, how did you guys do things in Cleveland? How did you handle this in Buffalo?
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, I totally agree with you as the play caller. I want no part of this. But to me, yeah, is it different than in having guys you've had before? Absolutely it is. And it's, I think it's a couple of offenses that we kind of respect. You know, it's not like an offense that we, you know, that we would look at and say, well, that Cleveland offense is horrible. That, you know, the Buffalo offense is horrible. And maybe, you know, he had some ideas on those staff that they used and they had success. And but as a primary play caller, maybe that's not his cup of tea.
I mean, he wasn't a mobile quarterback, but he's also worked with mobile quarterbacks. Carolina with the Panthers and Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. He's with Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Like he's that's not Dak.
It is odd though that you get fired 2 years in a row. I mean, how good are your ideas? How good is your communication? How good is your professionalism and friendliness? You know, it kind of sounds like a what not to do interview, if you ask me, Chief.
Oh, there you go.
It's pretty on brand.
See, thank you. Thank you. Now we bring it back. That makes a lot more sense. I'm still in on Clayton Adams. I'm still trying to figure out a way to get the Cardinals guy.
Interviewed him yesterday, and then it changed just kind of, maybe it wasn't a good interview.
He did?
No, that's what he needs to do probably if he wants to get the gig. I don't know if it's a money thing, but I don't think that his agent's making things
Clayton's
easy.
Can be wheels off. Don't be surprised if they got face-to-face and they're like, well, this is just a little bit too much good old boy for us.
Too Clayton for us.
Yeah, too much Clayton. You know, you go too far with a Clayton, you got a Clint on your hands.
Well, I mean, let's not act like Jerry's out here trying to throw a bunch of money around.
Right.
No, you know, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure he probably wants a raise from whatever he's got right now.
Well, he's going to be entitled of OC.
Yeah, that's a promotion.
That's how you get him out of Arizona. You don't get him out of Arizona on a lateral move.
No. Mm-hmm.
So you got to pay him what OCs get paid. And right. I think that's where Jerry's probably having the problem or somebody's having the problem here.
Okay, the Bills Chief conspiracy got more fun today. I sent you guys the video of this. Just the gambling angle makes it interesting to me. You know, possible point shaving as gambling becomes more and more a part of it. You know, people can be put in tough situations, and they're willing to do anything to get out of it, as we have seen in the NBA 20 years ago. We've seen across the world of sports almost every year there's some sort of a point-shaving scandal. You know, you get organized crime together, you get some gambling degenerates, the next thing you know, sure, I'll make sure the Bills don't get a first down if it's close. I reposted it at Gavin Dawson on Twitter. 5 different times it appeared that it was probably a first down. Let me say 4, it definitely was a first down, and 1 was like 50-50. They all go in favor of Kansas City. The Kincaid catch on the play before Josh Allen's first down. Probably should have been a first. James Cook in the first quarter went for an 11-yard gain. They trimmed it to 9. They took a yard and a half from dude. Okay, Amari Cooper catch. Another James Cook play early in the fourth quarter. Peppered throughout the game. Tony Romo even says at one point, it seems over and over again, we keep seeing that. That was on the third one that probably should have been a first down. Okay. So, I don't know, just something to peruse, something to find interesting. I don't think there's any way the conspiracy could happen. Okay, conspiracy talk with this is weird because there would have to be so many people involved. Blandino already came out today and said, listen, I've never heard anything about this. You kidding me? We're going to get all of the officials involved and the league involved, and nobody's going to blow the whistle on us. It's just, I can't buy it. There's too much to lose.
Yeah, yeah, it seems way too difficult to pull off.
But one ref who has wise guys threatening to break his legs, sending him pictures of his kids playing on kindergarten playgrounds. You know, if that could, that's, I'm painting a picture here.
Oh, yeah, okay, you never know. I'm like, oh snap! Are they coming after Hockley right now?
You never know. Hey, Bill Burr. Yeah. Bill Burr's in on this as well. On the other side, I'll stoke the flames for you more, Dawson, on some of this conspiracy stuff.
Okay. All right. Because I do have 60 seconds on soccer. West Ham offering PSV Eindhoven $26 million for former FC Dallas striker Ricardo Pepi. Offer rejected.
Oh.
Okay, so the Hammer's still looking for a striker. Right. Has 18 goals in 25 competitions, does Pepe for Eindhoven so far this year. Wow. Yesterday had the game winner in the Champions League game versus Liverpool. Liverpool was mostly comprised of reserve players. They didn't need to get the result. But he also has 13 goals in 33 games for the U.S. men's national team, still only 22 years old. Of course, you remember he was the MLS Young Player of the Year for FC Dallas in 2021. I think they moved him before the trophy was even delivered.
Yeah.
You know, for $5 or $6 million back in the day. But he is really coming into his own there in Europe now, and that is good to see. And we'll see what else might be had. I guess the January transfer window is just all about wrapped up. So, but it'd be cool to see him, continue to play there as well. All right, when we come back, we have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. What were you saying we're going to do, Wolchuk?
All right, Bill Burr on the NFL being fixed, and we got some lawmakers that are trying to change the movie experience. That's next.
All right, so check this out. Just as we're talking about potential point shaving, unusual betting patterns surrounding the play of former Hornets guard Terry Rozier in a game 2 years ago under investigation by federal prosecutors. Same probe that led to the lifetime ban of Raptors player Jonte Porter. Okay, so we are seeing more of this. What do you guys think? This segment of the G-Bag Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get your free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Here's Zach Wolchuk, Chuck Wagon.
All right, here we go. Bill Burr, one of our favorites here in the nation, and he was on with Rich Eisen, and he was talking exactly this about the NFL being fixed. He's saying the NFL, the Chiefs, very marketable. It's beneficial to keep them going. And here was more as he went into it with Jaden Daniels.
Okay, they're all shows at this point. Like, I think there was a while there where, mm-hmm. I think, listen, let's be honest. Okay, there's Please. Always been point shaving, mob gambling. There's always been, it's always been, in all sports have always been like that. But I think we're going into like an unprecedented time of that on all sports or whatever. So I'm not just singling them out. I don't care about that stuff, but I'm just saying, like,
you think the Chiefs are not as good as we're making them out to be, Bill? I mean, I'm trying to figure
I
to
think
put the
that
hammer directly
I,
on the
I,
head
it's
here.
A business.
Yes.
It's a business, and you got to look at the problem with the Chiefs is Patrick Mahomes doesn't have a dance partner. Well, you had Bradshaw, Staubach, you had Montana, Elway. He's just the only guy. So If you don't like the Chiefs, you should buy the everyone should buy the jersey of that kid on the Redskins. So then the NFL will be, maybe there's some money. Maybe this is lucrative. If we could sort of, I don't think it's fixed. I think it's massaged. There's definitely more back rubs on one side than the other.
Shout out to Justin Tucker. We'll get to that, I'm sure, later on in the program.
But yeah, well, that's a front rub.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true. Justin, well,
we may not know for sure what him now. He was totally into.
You're right, Chief. We don't.
Yeah, and he's also enough to get all those banned, claims.
Allegedly.
But I don't think that the NFL is fixed. But there are times where it's like, if it's close enough, if you'd like it to go one way, I could totally see the officiating kind of moving it towards one side. There were certainly some weird things going on, and I've been against this Chiefs ref deal. But some of the spots of the football, there were certain things that you could look at and be like, that's a little fishy.
Yeah, I don't know why or how the league could execute this. Like, how ticked off are you if you're the Jets or the Chargers or these teams that are being,
which is never good.
Yeah, I don't know how it could be organizational that this would happen. I could see a biased ref, his family or he loves the Chiefs or loves Patrick Mahomes or hates the Bills or hates Josh Allen. I could see those like interpersonal dynamics creating, massive momentum swings or, a gambling debt that you owe to wise guys creating. I just couldn't see the NFL because there's too much at stake.
It seems too tough to do.
With all their gambling partners and stuff, this would be the biggest bombshell.
Like, you're
going to
tick off somebody, and somebody will be bad. One side is not going to win out of this for sure. You'd assume.
I think if I was in the business of trying to convince people like to throw games, I wouldn't be trying to get high profile teams. I'd be trying to shoot
work
for the
lower end.
Yeah, look, yeah. Work yeah. the lower end.
Get the
ends.
Eyeballs off.
Get that Panthers Jags game going.
There's no reason. For some of these guys. I mean, the money doesn't mean that much to them. Some guys it does, but to me, I would work games or try and get people to throw games that don't, you know, like the games don't really matter. Like they're not going to investigate, like you guys were talking about, a Falcon New England or a Carolina New England game this year. They're not going to investigate that.
Well, I would say they are, and that's how serious all of this is. But if you are going to make the leap into trying something like this, that would be the way to do
it. I'm not going to do a game where everybody's watching.
We're talking about Terry Rozier right now, and this is a couple of years later. But this is some no one cares, no one would ever think about it ever again, and now it's resurfacing. I don't care what game it is. It will come to light if there was actually some serious foul play.
Yeah, but by two years, I've already spent my money. I've already got my money out of it. I've already done, you know, it's water under the bridge for me.
And there might not be any hiding anymore with all the regulation that's on board now. But, you know, to Brian's point, that's what, like, wise guys try to fix is, like, low-end tennis matches and things that are off the radar.
In Europe, they've had the problems with these soccer referees. It's never a guy at the, you know, the highest level. It's always some official that's refereeing another match. And then all of a sudden you get, you know, millions of dollars. You get millions of dollars wagered, and you're thinking, well, why is, you know, Huddleston and some other match, you know, why is it all of a sudden it's big?
Yeah.
You know, why is all this money being spent on this, you know?
But I think if the NFL was rigging it, they would want every team winning the championship. I don't think they would want dynasties because of how much that infuses a fan base with excitement. Like, after a while, there's a little bit of a fatigue factor. Mm. I do agree they're all shows and it's a business, and if the NFL could manipulate it some way, I think that greed would figure out a way to manifest that. And then the other thought I had on it, Wolchuk, is, you know, yesterday I was saying just how weird it was that we went from the Brady dynasty in this era of parity, where everybody else is just kind of fumbling. It's an 8-8 league, as Mike Fisher brilliantly coined years ago, and now back-to-back, you know, maybe the NFL sees it as more of the Jordan or Steph Curry angle of marketing, that we want a dynasty that everybody is kind of pulling for or rooting against. It makes these Super Bowls more interesting. Like, you know, some of these Super Bowls from our past have been kind of like ho-hum. There's just not a big narrative or storyline on it, and that's the lack of star power.
It is. And that's when you have, you know, the Mahomes, and to your point, I mean, Brady, I guess they went 10 years in between championships, but they did play in two Super Bowls and lost to the Giants. And one of those years, they were like undefeated, right? So the ratings were crazy. It's like you're going for history here. This year, you're going for the three-peat. Then you add in the Taylor Swift effect with the Chiefs, which brings in a whole other element of possible viewership and eyeballs. So I can see the financial benefit of the league. Like, hey, I think the Chiefs are outstanding, and they are playing their main role here in why they're successful. But if it comes down to a call here and there, maybe the NFL could lean a little biased on who they'd prefer to get into the game.
I want to check Spotterman's betting slips or email history from
that
Sunday.
Fourth down spot.
I want to know how many times in a game are spots blown too.
Every game.
Yeah.
Every game. I've said this before, probably not very eloquently, but my livelihood depended on men throwing a ball around. Like, it would be marked here, thrown from the sidelines, then put in the middle of the field, kind of like guessing where maybe the foot is of the guys or the gal standing there, and then trying to place the ball at that spot. It every game, it's incredible the amount of yards. Just look at the metrics when I do the stuff on Next Gen. It's when I look at, Eric always asks me, give me the fourth down calls, and it's always like actual distance. You know, 1.9 yards, 1.7 yards, 1.5. Sure. It's never a yard because they've missed the spot by half a yard. And that's the difference between sometimes winning and losing games. This has gone on forever. Them throwing the ball around like the way that they do, it's going to be marked wrong almost every single time.
That's a stat I'd love to track. Yards lost.
Oh, it's
like how many yards
I've watched
lose
him do
based
it.
On poor spots
I've
during the course
him.
Of a game.
I have absolutely watched officials run from the sidelines coming in to mark a ball on fourth down, you know, to like if it's a conversion or not, run in, get bumped by a wide receiver or a cornerback, get bumped off track where they're running the line, and then have to circle back and get back online.
Now you're just like trying to correct it as best you can.
Yeah. And then that all of a sudden the official looks and says, okay, we're going to mark it off this side over here, not the other side. So, yeah, I mean, trust me, there's better ways of doing this. And the way they're doing it now is they've been doing it forever. But, yeah, there's yards lost all the time. Every game loses yards.
Well, thank you, old Chuck. Good conversation. Thanks for continuing that. Time to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius has a G-bag of the day.
Ready, get it ready, get it ready, ready. Get it ready, get it ready. Get it ready, ready. All right, so where we last left off here on G-bag of the day, I believe this is day two for this audio. Police were called because the neighbor was being loud. Cop didn't know that he stepped into a neighborly beef.
Mm.
He didn't know. But once he found out, he wants no parts of it. None. Absolutely none.
Yeah.
Hey, North Charleston Police.
Can I help you?
We got a call about yelling and screaming coming from the apartment.
I'm sorry.
We got a call about yelling and screaming coming from the apartment. Are y'all okay?
Yeah.
Gonna come to the door and talk to us at all?
No. You should really tell my neighbors that they're lucky that I don't call the cops on them every time they yell and scream like animals.
Okay, we're done with this. Shut up and have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Catch me outside.
Yeah.
Shut up and have a good night.
Shut up and have a good night.
That's how I want to end all my shows from now on. Shut up. That's how I want to end this segment. All right. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. Shut up and have a good night. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I holla.
That's good community policing.
Well said.
Yeah. Hey. All right. Yesterday was a church day here in America. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. He's for my mind. Reverend Ike is for my money.
Cha-ching.
Yes, I'm on that Reverend Ike stuff. I definitely am. I got two church clips for you before I get to this AI clip that I don't want to play. I'm tired of playing AI. I told the toller.
Talking about practice?
Yeah. I told the toller that sent this to me. All right, this is going to be the last AI clip I pay for at least 3 weeks. Jeez.
You got to sprinkle them in here and there.
Sprinkle dankle.
Going too much. You sprinkle them.
This pastor right here was not a fan of the band behind him leaving while he was doing his sermon.
Things that you need to make in your life, all of you musicians, y'all stay in while I'm teaching.
Please.
Y'all need the word.
Oh,
yeah. Where y'all going? What you doing?
Where you going? What you doing?
I don't like that.
Reverend,
this ain't no show. We are all growing in the Lord. Don't do that no more.
Don't do that no more.
No more.
Remind me of Michael Jackson when he was upset. He's talking to the FBI. No, he's talking to Oprah. There was doo-doo and feces on the wall. It's nasty in there.
I don't think I've seen this.
Oh, yeah. Bro. It's just
is that when he said time. That's ignorant?
That's an unfortunate
It's ignorant. Spot. It's ignorant, yeah.
Let's see what else we got right here. Oh, yeah. This guitar player in the church band was just struggling, showing out.
Oh. Yeah, my easy. Get some more lessons there, buddy. Thanks for the audition. Sounds like you got a couple loose strings in there, partner.
Yeah.
Pretty awful. Now, this is not one, but Mr. Gavin Dawson sent me this. Maybe about 2.5 weeks ago. A little PSA for the parents that like to drop off their kids and drop off.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I got you, bro. Now, I remember my mother, she would take me as far as the traffic allowed. Once the traffic started getting congestion, it's time for me to jump out with my lunchbox, my backpack, saxophone, anything else I got. Sausage biscuits from McDonald's. Get out the car right now. Kind of like a mission.
All just because, hey, your legs work.
What's
the furthest you ever had to walk, Lucius? You remember?
No, it's pretty far. Yeah, but once that traffic built up, she's like, all right, this is it. I got you here. A little PSA for the parents, though.
Listen, parents, I'm only going to say this once, and you know who you are. If you're the type of parent that's got to bathe and dress your child, comb their hair, scramble them an egg, and write them a little love note before they can exit your vehicle, you do not belong in the school drop-off line. Only parents who have raised their kids to jump out with their backpack fully loaded, like we storming the beaches of Normandy while our vehicles are slowly rolling away. Nah, those are the only parents allowed in the school drop-off line. Yes. I'm not going to tell y'all again.
Yes. Everybody else park, okay, or go around back. We got multiple parking lots for you. Happens every morning, Lucius. And I'll tell you what, the school districts know these parents cannot handle this. That's why in elementary school, they have teachers out there and volunteers out there moving them.
They do.
Once you get to middle school, it is a lawless land. And it's self-policed. And some of these parents have no common sense or consideration.
Consideration. 100% about their consideration. This is a DFW driver, common DFW driver. I seen him last night on my way home. It was raining. Like, the visibility was so low. Mm-hmm. We doing 90. They pushing me. Yeah, they, this, we doing 90, dog.
Dang.
Yeah.
Moving.
I respect that.
That was a slow lane.
Yeah. Whoosh, whoosh, just splashing. People are hydroplaning. There's cops like blocking off areas so you can't get there because it's a flash flood. Yeah. Nah, cuz we doing 90, bro. I guess. All right, here's this AI clip. AI Stephen Jones. This is a strange dude.
I almost forgot I was here. Physically, I'm here. But mentally, I'm at a truck stop picking up a lot lizard. Look, this can't be all glory holes and hand. I wish it was, because that sounds more fun than actually doing work. Tuesdays are our glory hole days. It's when we see just how much our staff wants the privilege to work here.
Jeez,
I don't understand people saying we haven't had any success. I mean, sure, we haven't won in 30 years, but winning is overrated. We've had tons of fun. To be honest, I have no idea what air quotes are supposed to be used for. Still trying to figure that one out. I was born out of my daddy's left nut, which is the deformed one. You think when Jerry passes, I'm going to be any better. I was ignored and dropped all the time as a child. People always ask if I actually do any work. Of course I do. My number one job is to agree with everything daddy says and give him the ideas that are worse than his...
Got a little uncomfortable there at the end.
Didn't sound like it at all.
Yeah, a little off.
That was bad AI there.
There's one line in there that sounded like him. The part about not wanting to, it sounds a lot better than doing real work, whatever. That line.
There wasn't enough hats off to him, and at the end of the days.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
24/7, 365.
Obviously. Yeah.
Well, you know.
Pretty good punchlines in there. I'm at a truck stop picking up a lot lizard.
The script
was
funny.
Pretty strong. Yes. Okay, I'm going to go with the PSA for parents dropping their kids off. Chief, how about you? AI Steve. Lucius.
The cops and the neighbor.
Volchuk.
Yeah, I'll stick with the cops and the neighbor.
Brian?
Let's go with... Yeah, we'll go with cops and the neighbor.
By a score of 3-1-1, still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's the cops officiating a neighborly beef and exiting timely. Okay, when we come back, it's time
Shut up and good night.
Yes. It's time for the new Rangers spring training countdown. As we're just a couple of weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting, and another week after that from the first spring training game. We'll do that. NFL News of the Day coming up at 3 o'clock, and we're back in the fan. Thank you, Lucius. We got all your sports right here on your home of the Cowboys, home of your Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, Rangers pitchers and catchers reporting February 12th. That is 2 weeks from yesterday. Yes, that is right. And the Rangers spring schedule will start February 21st against the Royals, with whom they share their Surprise Stadium spring training headquarters. Would love to see you out there. You know, I definitely think it's a bucket list trip. You get around Surprise. You can watch a lot of games. It's within 30, 45-minute drive distance from a lot of other spring training complexes. And, you know, it's always a time. So I think as a DFW sports fan, you owe it to yourself. If you don't have plans already, make it happen.
Yeah,
this could be their year.
It's always another opportunity for us to get into a rent-a-car and to see how that's going to work out.
Yes. You know,
could we pick one that actually has windshield wipers and – the door works, and one where Dawson doesn't have to be a stunt driver to make it work.
If we're lucky. Man, we've had some crazy rental car luck over
the
years.
We have.
Yeah.
In a way, it's – I'm going to be honest with you, it hadn't been good.
No.
It hadn't been good, but we talk about the Arizona trip the one time with the amazing.
I think you have the biggest disaster on record, though, with your fall that you last year in Oxnard.
I did. I took a fall, lost an earbud, was embarrassed, was bleeding, got ahead of the line. I was injured. My hand hurt.
He popped up so quick trying to play it off that he forgot that he lost the earbud in the process.
That thing went flying. There's no telling. It's probably, it was underneath the car.
Oh, it's pulverized into asphalt at this point.
Yeah.
Was that an ice earbud just walked away from?
Yeah, it was.
Wow, that's embarrassing.
Very.
Yeah. I'm just glad he didn't have some sort of an abrasion on his face that could have made him look elderly and incompetent like Jay Leno.
I had an abrasion on my right hand from trying to brace myself from falling.
The hand-knee combo. Because
my face could have got a brace.
Well, I'm also glad you didn't break your wrist. That would have been really unfortunate if we had to go to the emergency room after that.
You know what? To be honest with you, I wouldn't have. I would have just said, just go to.
I'm fine, guys.
Just go.
Oh yeah,
I would have borrowed the car, drove myself. I would have held my arm against my side.
It's nothing.
It's nothing. It's
merely
okay.
A flesh wound,
And then I would have just gone by myself.
I might have some PTSD though, going back to this Phoenix airport. I might need to walk over and go back to the side of the scene.
The rental car situation?
I watched my daughter be born right there.
We
FaceTime.
We landed a plane.
I don't think that's going to happen this time. I'm not aware of any pregnancy going on.
As soon as that plane, the wheels hit the ground, we were finding airlines to fly back on.
It was scrambling. Unbelievable.
We were scrambling. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we got down to the rental spot. It was like a 2-hour, 3-hour wait until Brian cut the line.
Yeah.
Saved us multiple hours.
Heggie did a great job. Was already there, and I kind of walked up and acted like I was supposed to be there. Like, oh, hi, Heggie, hey.
Yeah, that was holding my spot the entire time.
As I'm talking to Heggie, I'm like handing the lady a credit card and my driver's license. Like, you think you could help me as well, man?
Did you get a better car, though? Was it better than the van we had?
We were okay. Yeah, that wasn't our worst car.
No. Yeah, we've hit the van by far with the big white X, don't take.
I don't think any of us noticed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a.
Oh, I really noticed it.
I learned that weekend.
I noticed it. Dawson's like, damn, get in the van. Shut up. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we were making the right decision moving into a bigger vehicle.
Yeah.
But apparently the big X on the side chalk means this is not a good vehicle.
Yeah, this means take your life in your own hands a bit.
Do more, though. Put some caution tape around that thing or something.
Morning news has a bullpen breakdown for us. Will the bullpen be better than what it's been? I mean, if it's a continuation of what it's been, we could be in some bad shape. It's really unbelievable they managed to win the World Series with the worst bullpen in baseball in 2023. And then last year they were bottom five as well. What do you think? Is this negligence? Is this a Chris Young blind spot that we've been subjected to? What are your expectations at 877-881-1053? I know we got a lot of smart baseball people out there. You're getting excited like we are. After the break last year, CY definitely, made a move to acquiring six new bullpen arms, either in free agency or trades. Of course, Chris Martin. You got Sean Armstrong, 34 years old, had a 1.38 for the Rays in 2023. Okay, Robert Garcia, the pitcher they got for Nathaniel Lowe, some pretty elite metrics in how he gets guys to chase and they don't make good contact against him. His ERA was like mid fours last year, but I think they like his promise. Jacob Webb has some history in low leverage situations, so maybe that's your seventh inning guy or something like that. And then, of course, our guy Jesse Chavez as well. But, I think as far now as expectations, it's hard to be worse than they've been. So just basically changing everything out hopefully gives them a chance to be average. Well, Chuck, what do you think? Are those expectations too high?
No, I'm excited overall about the state of the bullpen. I thought they did a really good job last year of kind of finding some guys in Kirby Yates and David Robertson. Maybe they're still able to bring back D-Rob. I still think a closer is needed, but they do have a lot of options. And really, I think the thing we've got to focus most on is health, right? I mean, that's really what derailed last year's season. And I love the offensive additions they've made. So I'm pumped to get to spring training and see some of the young guys as well. Like Sebastian Walcott is going to be a blast to be able to see in some of these games. But Jock Peterson, Berger, some of the new additions. I'm excited. Every other year, we just got to follow the Bochy formula. We're going back to the World Series, boys.
I went back and I was looking at my notes because I asked one of my major league buddies about Garcia.
Yeah.
And I just wanted, if I could, circle back on that for you guys. And just this is a general manager buddy friend of mine. He says, very good, in my opinion. Garcia is a really good lefty reliever that's cheap. and has years of control. Solid average stuff, cool. But plus deception. He's funky. He's cheap. He's a nice compliment to the bullpen. Rangers are clearly avoiding guys who have the Rangers are clearly adding guys who have different arm angles and slots. So we were talking about, you know, the guys that were kind of not traditional, not the overhand guys. But
yeah, they're
going to
give you a lot of different looks.
So maybe they've kind of figured out some of that. Who is a team? I know Bassick's probably listening. There was a team, I think Tampa. Somebody's got a metrics on this where they.
It probably is the Rays.
Where they talk about the type of pitchers. Do you use sidearm pitchers, overhand? You know, there's kind of this metrics. And Mike was telling me about it. I couldn't remember. But yeah, I mean, my buddy here was pretty excited about, you know, because I was thinking, you know, sometimes the Rangers, hey, you can make a deal, maybe you get worked a little bit. Oh my God, my general manager buddy really liked this move. So
yeah, I bet there's science to it, like the, you know, next whatever amount of pitches after you change from one style to another. I'd imagine there is an adjustment period inside of there, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was the Tampa Rays that had figured that out. But yeah, you give up a player of Nathaniel Lowe's caliber, and I know it wasn't always the most consistent or productive ride with him, but you know, that's got some value to it, and to get his bullpen equivalent, I love it.
Well, here's another one of my scout buddies. He said Milner, guy they brought in, right?
Oh yeah,
Milner, yeah, from the Brewers. Mm-hmm. He said, for what he is, well above average deception lefty with funky release. He throws strikes, has several pitches. Can't make you miss all the time or he'll get crushed. But he's a kid from North Texas, so I see why they did it. But there, you know, here again, guy, funky release, delivery and all that.
A lot of different arm slots.
Arm slots and stuff. So maybe they're going to try and put something together where it's not going to be about maybe a dominant guy, but different pieces and the... How they, you
just
know,
keeping hitters off balance.
Keeping hitters off balance. Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, if this year is going to be better, it's going to be because their offensive guys bounce back. Their offensive additions were there.
I agree.
And their starting pitchers are excellent. You know, we'll see what they get from Jacob DeGrom. You know, a full season of Jacob DeGrom, big season from Kamar Rocker. We could be, you know, talking about the biggest of expectations by the time we get a few months into the season. Elvis Andrews joining the telecast. I know a lot of longtime Rangers fans are going to love having him. A decade with the team, 15-year career. I'll bet on him because he has good energy and he makes it fun. Can he bring some of that personality that he displayed on the diamond and his interactions with the players, especially Elvis Andrews? Very engaging personality. He's going to do 20 games. So that's good because the season can be a grind. I would not want to go from retirement to, hey, guess what? You're going to do 150 games here for us. You know, that doesn't sound like a tremendous amount of fun unless you're a dedicated broadcaster, you know, like Laura Stickles, who at 28 years old is the new TV dugout reporter. Emily Jones has been the primary reporter in that role since 07. An incredible run. She's announced that she'll further curtail her workload in 2025 and is expected to only do 20 games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I have so much admiration for her for those nights at the old stadium when it was 105 degrees. Oh, yeah. And she's standing down there in the dugout and just talking. And, you know, and I mean,
she's the best.
She is. She really absolutely is. Did it with total professionalism. You know, the interaction you had with the players, the front office, everything like that. You know, when she was saying something, you had to take it to heart. I mean, she highly respected, but those nights of her standing down there, I mean, just powering through how hot it was in that dugout for her. I couldn't imagine how bad that was.
But soldier.
She did it with a lot of professionalism.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was crazy last night after the Mavs game. I was taking care of some things, interacting on social with the Tolos. And then all of a sudden, the entire tone of the evening changed. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are still reeling from the insane crash. I mean, I think this one goes down in American history along with, you know, the flight at DFW back in the late 80s, early 90s, where they hit the wind shear.
The wind shear got them there.
Remember the TWA flight in the 80s? You know, there are some of these absolute big ones that just are singed into your mind permanently. And this one, just the video is unbelievable.
Yeah, was that a Pan Am flight to Lockerbie, Scotland one you were talking about?
Yeah, that show Lockerbie, I definitely recommend watching. I think it's on Paramount+.
That was a terrorist attack, maybe though, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, I mean, there might have been some foolery going on. I don't know. It's kind of left, it leaves you wondering a little bit. But yes, it was a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's an overcrowded airport there in D.C. They have three of them, but this one is super close to the Pentagon. It's like right next door, and it's so convenient for a lot of the government officials and the people of D.C. Right. that they've left it open, even like decades after it was recommended that it be closed. It operates at like 60% above capacity on a daily basis. That's some of the complications. I don't know.
There's a lot going on. Like, I've taken that airport a few times, and when you land, when you're coming up that river, you can just see all the military situations and all the birds and the helos they have.
Yep.
And there's a lot moving on.
I can see that
right below you.
Yeah, I read a thread from an Army helicopter pilot that has experience flying those, and he was just going through how difficult your lines of sight can be, and how that thing is set up to be, you know, invisible from above, can work against you. That's why the plane couldn't see him, even though he had his lights on. Right. And he said, even though we're in a 3-man crew and we're in constant communication, it's easy, you know, to sort of get caught up in other distractions, and one person is, you know, required by their code to always have their eyes outside and looking around. But he'd say, I'd be lying if I said we had a perfect record in doing that, you know. So you're always communicating, I'm inside or I'm outside. But he's like, sometimes, you know, everybody's looking inside and looking at the different instruments and plotting out different stuff, or maybe in some sort of other communication. So he said from his perspective, it wasn't totally out of the realm of possibility, and other pilots checking in saying I had a similar type of close call. But it's just unbelievable. You get the wide shot and you see the chopper coming in for a long, long distance of time, and down comes the plane. And it's just, it's unbelievably sad and tragic to, you know, see some of those stories. Like the sports angle, multiple U.S. and Russian figure skaters were on board, including at least one former Russian champion and some American young skaters with their mothers and stuff. Absolute, you know, tragedy. Okay, when we come back here in the G-Bag Nation, as we're cracking them here on a Thirsty Thursday, NFL news of the daytime. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
One free agent the Cowboys should prioritize. We got new coaches continuing to put their staffs together and getting your head chopped off. That's next.